I just want to say it's nice to see you. We've missed gathering together here because we had a bit of a bigger gathering up in Peterborough and the Faith Camp. And that was a wonderful time. But we had an amazing Faith Camp. And I must say, for me, it was the best we've had for many, many years. And it was such a powerful time of worship, anointed ministry and preaching, and encounter with God, that I know that everybody who went would have had their lives impacted and changed. And I'm trusting that next year there'll be more of a gathering that you decide in your hearts to actually give God a week of your year like that and actually experience God in an amazing way. And the children's ministry was wonderful. One of our three, Joseph's three, isn't he? Joseph is three. He went to Bouncy's, he would have been in, and he heard Jesus say, "Follow me." He told me. He heard Jesus say, "Follow me." And I just think it's amazing what Jesus does to communicate with all ages. And he's, of course, he made us to hear him, didn't he? And he wants to communicate with all of us. But one of the things that happens, and if you weren't at camp, you probably won't be experiencing that this weekend, but when you come back from such a large gathering where there's been so many people and so much support to pray and to worship and to give yourself to the Lord, and you just see everybody there with one heart, one mind doing the same thing, you kind of miss that environment. And you come home, and I just want to talk today about how your relationship with God mustn't be corporate, mustn't be large gatherings. It's aided, and that is necessary. At times we need larger gatherings, and of course we need our Sunday to come together to worship and to hear him. But God didn't save us just for big events. And Jesus talked about having an intimate relationship with God. Now, if you've got a religious mind, you'll have already gone to the point where you're going, "Oh my goodness, she's going to talk about my personal prayer life." But what about the privilege of going into your room, closing the door, and praying to your Father who is in that place? That awesome audience with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you just imagine? How could you miss camp when you've got God? Should we just shift our little thinking and say, how can we miss these great events, although they are special, and I really am emphasizing, I believe they're important in our yearly calendars to break out of what we're normally in and allow God to do something different. But your relationship with God isn't corporate. It's personal. And unless you have an intimate relationship with God, when the storms hit, which Jesus said they would, all of us, hello, when, not if, when the storms hit, you won't stand unless you've got this developed one-on-one dedicated relationship with Jesus that is real and that is something you devote yourself to. And I know people who have all year talk about what God did at camp and say they wish that he would do something here in their own lives. I'm thinking, you're missing the point. God is here. Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And so we really have to all the time get biblical thinking about Christ in us, God with us, God in us through his Holy Spirit, and coming to him on a regular daily basis. Now, if I was to ask you, how many people in this room are facing a personal situation which is impossible, or a family situation, or a friend that's in an impossible situation, or maybe a work colleague, or whatever. How many in this room would say they're facing something that only God can do? Okay, now if you didn't put your hand up, you need a mission for an impossible situation. Right? So if you didn't put your hand up, God wants you to have a prayer goal for some situation that looks impossible. Go and meet somebody, find out about their lives and say, I'm going to pray for a miracle for you. Okay? So we all need to actually cooperate with God in our prayer lives to say, come on now, we are here because Jesus has given us this privilege to pray for impossible situations to change, because prayer changes things. Tell the person next to you, prayer changes things. And so I know that if I am facing, which I am in many areas, impossible things, things that I can't do, because we're not supposed to be living in a realm of what we can do. Christians are supposed to be living by what God can do. That was good. I hope you're awake this morning. We're supposed to be living by what God can do, which is a little bit more than what we can do. I don't know if you've noticed. Jesus can part the Red Sea. He can feed multitudes in a desert. He's better than United Nations at feeding programs. Amen. He is great and awesome in every generation. And so whenever we face impossible situations, if we have a developed secret place, a personal relationship with Him, where we actually have a prayer life that is established, it's not a crisis prayer life, it's a relationship prayer life. We're not praying crisis prayers or need prayers. It's because we love Him. We go to our Father in the secret place. And our primary call is to come to Him, to be in His presence, to love Him, to worship Him. I don't know if you ever use worship ministry or some music, but I know that I can just be on my own in my bedroom where no one else is listening, because if they are, I know they'll be assessing my voice. But how many of you know that God doesn't assess your voice? He's looking at your heart. But when I start to worship Him and sing in my bedroom and walk around with my hands lifted up and, Jesus, I love you, Lord, that song we've just been singing, I'll take that because it's so easy. I can remember it. And I can just worship Him. And it's like I start to experience His presence as I worship. That's what He's got planned for you. That's what He's got planned for each one of us. And we start to proclaim His greatness as we worship and declare how great He is. He's got something to say into every impossible situation. He's got something to say into every impossible situation you're facing. But we need to draw aside and listen. And worship opens me up to listening. Knowing that His presence is there, experiencing God. I do not believe that we are to be in an experience-less Christianity. I believe we're supposed to experience God. When the Holy Spirit came upon the believers at Pentecost, would you say they experience God? Okay, there is an experience, but it comes by faith first. And many times I worship Him just by faith. I feel nothing, I experience nothing, but I have developed a prayer life where I'll do it anyway. And you need to find time every day. Because if you're not a prayer, you won't be someone who's bringing miracles into situations. And God wants to train and teach us how to pray so that we're drawing from Him hearing his voice in every situation and bringing down the pattern of heaven on the earth just by being in your bedroom or your lounge or even your car. But you have to lose your distractions to be alone with God. Now, I know this is pretty odd, but when I pray, I cannot bear an untidy room. Is anybody else like that? So if I've got things hanging around on the table, it gets my focus. And so I know that might sound weird for you, because some of you may not even be bothered or even see that it's a mess. But I'm like, right, before I pray, I'm going to put those bits in a pile. I'm going to make sure my washing's put away. Phew, peace. That's my distraction. But maybe your distraction is a TV, a phone. Looking out a window, gazing at the flowers in the garden, rather than gazing at Jesus. And when we behold him, we are transformed. Not when I behold a mess, a phone, a garden with flowers. I am actually created and born again to enter into God's presence, to see him by the Spirit and worship him and know him. Hello? Why miss out on a phone and whatever else seems to get your attention? Jesus is actually the best person, the best experience you will ever have is coming into his presence. And when I worship and pray and I've got an impossible situation, I'll say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I need you to speak into this situation so that I know what's on your mind. Now that's, I believe this is the Logos, the eternal word of God that is living and powerful. That's what scripture is. The Bible is the word of God to us. We hear his voice when we read his word. But I believe the Holy Spirit in me gives us what is called a rhema word for a situation. So when you read your Bible, when you're praying, the Holy Spirit can remind you of something that Jesus has already said through his word. Or when you're reading it, you go, oh, that's God. He's just speaking to me. That one verse, I'm hearing him. And I'll begin to pray what I've been given. And that's the sword of the Spirit, or the word for that situation. And so I'll take up what God gives me and begin to pray his will into that situation, into that impossibility. And this, guys, is how you build your relationship with the Lord. This is so important, to be praying the will of God, the rhema word, the word that God gives for impossible situations. Don't just say, I know he wants it in, as it is in heaven. Say, Lord, give me, because faith comes from hearing and hearing by his word. We need faith, don't we, for impossible situations. Just continue to ask him until you receive a word from God. This is the perfect word of the Lord. His Spirit will take it and give it to you as you read his word, and it will become life to you, and you will have faith for an impossible situation. Tell somebody next to you, you need faith for impossible situations. Thank you, Jesus. In every situation where I find myself flailing, where I don't know what to do, I haven't got a clue, I just don't know, I go to the Lord in the secret place. I worship him. I love him. I say, Lord, I need to hear. Thank you, you're a good shepherd, that you will lead me to what I need, so that I can receive what I need to pray. But I know that if you've been a Christian for long enough, you will know that sometimes prayers don't get answered instantly. Sometimes it's not even the second time you prayed that it happened. And even sometimes it's not the third. And I absolutely love the prayer that gets immediate results. You know, immediate. I remember once we prayed for provision, and we were living by faith and in itinerant ministry, traveling around the world. We didn't have any kind of income that you could say you could trust was coming in from a particular source. Our source was God. And we were like, the rent needs paying. And we need to eat. And we were praying, and immediately, it was in the olden days where you had a fax machine. Do you remember those old days? Has anybody still got a fax machine? You've all transferred into. Anyway, this is a fax machine. And as we prayed, believing, we get this fax come typed through. We go to it. We rush to it. We just ask the Lord for provision. We read this. Come from another country. We have just put £639 in your account. And I like those miracles. I like those answers where the answer is so quick. It's like, brilliant, Lord, let's get on to the next. But far more testing in my prayer life and in yours is when you've prayed and you know it to be the will of God and you know you have the will of God, the mind of Christ on it. You've got a word, a scripture. You're trusting God for that. And you pray three times. And then you pray for 2 months. And then you start to go, I don't know. Maybe I should change what I'm asking for. Maybe I should diminish the standard a bit. Pull it down a little bit from heaven to a slight adjustment to not quite there. And I know many Christians give up so quickly because they get discouraged because they prayed a few times and they didn't get the answer. And we need to hear the word of Jesus in our prayer lives. We need to be taught by the Lord as to how to pray. Because if you don't understand this teaching, what I'm about to share with you, you can get discouraged and not actually get the result. When I was a little girl, and I think they might still do it today, you had an egg and spoon race. Do they still run? Okay. Well, I didn't like them at all. But anyway, I was still enlisted. Everybody had to do this egg and spoon race. And you can imagine, what were you, 5 or 6 or something? And I would rather have one of those great big spoons. But, of course, they're only the little dessert spoons where the egg just fits on. Has everybody done an egg and spoon race? No, some of you have missed out. Maybe we'll have one downstairs. But anyway, so you imagine, you start your impossible situation in prayer, and you've got your egg. Now, I want the egg to symbolize your word, your promise from God. It's on board. And you're being ever so careful with the promise, right? And you know you've got to get as fast because you want to win quickly. You want the answer to come like this. And be there, right, don't you? So you want to run whatever way you want as quickly as possible to get to the finish line and win the race, win the prize. But the thing about this egg is it easily rolls off, doesn't it? You can easily lose it. And so you start off the race and you start running and then kind of, because you're trying too hard, it falls off your spoon. And you know what you have to do with the egg? You've got to go use the spoon to pick up the egg again because you're not allowed to touch the egg, are you? Just an analogy, it's not perfect, but so up you get and you start running again. And I remember dropping it just before I won once. Has anybody ever dropped their egg before they crossed the line? And the thing is, I crossed the line, but I was disqualified because I'd lost the very thing that would actually give me the result. Now, imagine the egg is the promise. The word of God. Okay, and we've got a goal. We're going to win what God says. By faith and patience, you will inherit the promises. You've got to keep hold of the egg. Let go of the egg, you cross the line and won't win anything. So you've got to keep the promise. Keep what God has said. Run with what God has said in your prayer life. Keep running and not be discouraged. Because if you drop it, you could be, it's never going to happen, is it? Especially if you keep dropping it. And basically, so many Christians drop the promise. What God has said about your kids, your family, what God has said about your call, what God has said about his church, what he's going to do. So many of us, especially at New Year, when we have a New Year's message, we can drop the egg. But you see, we've got to keep praying until we cross the line and we see the fulfillment of every good word that God has given us. And Jesus talked about prayer, Luke 18. Let's just look at this parable. And he tells us how to pray. Aren't you pleased? He told us how to pray. I'm pleased the master, the one who could teach us all about prayer, actually left us with his word on actually how to pray. When the answer isn't instant. Luke 18. Before we read it, tell yourself, I'm not going to drop the egg. I'm not going to lose the promise. Because I'm going to run until I see what God has spoken come to pass. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to run my race until I see what God has spoken come to pass. Amazing, you could be a carrier of a miracle for a long time, can't you? You just keep carrying it by faith until you see it with your own eyes. Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town that kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come. Actually, I prefer the translation, not attack me, but wear me out. That's more the understanding. Wear me out. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for his own chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Continue it. Day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus is teaching this is what to do when your prayers aren't answered quickly. Can anybody learn from Jesus' teaching this morning? Are you listening to the Lord? This is what to do when you don't get a quick answer. Okay? And he uses this story which gives you insight on how to be a success in prayer. I want to be a success, do you? How to be a success in prayer is written into this parable so that you and I can learn about how to see the miracle, the impossibility happen in every impossible situation. And I love this lady. I actually imagine her with a little handbag, catching a bus to the courts in Taunton. Every day getting on a bus. You know, one of these, you know, yeah, maybe even a blue rinse. And she gets her hair done. She's a very sweet little lady. But the thing about it is about this lady is that she's humanly speaking can't do anything for herself in this situation. There's nothing she can do. Oh, do you know what? I think we should celebrate more the "there's nothing I can do about this" moment. I think we should see it as a, "oh, but we know someone who can." I think we should change at that moment, "there's nothing I can do," into, "oh my goodness, he can do anything. Nothing is too hard for the Lord." And this little lady with the blue rinse in the handbag gets on the bus because she's actually retired, so she's got a free bus pass, which is why she can get into town every day, right? And she's on the bus and she's going into town to the courts to see the judge every day. And every day she's knocking on his door. Now, this is a mean, nasty, unjust judge. So in other words, he does not care about whatever wrong has happened to this woman. Now, he's in his position, but he probably uses his position for backhanders. And this widow doesn't have anything to give him, so why bother? She's of insignificance to this unjust judge. And so the widow comes, "I want to see the judge. Get justice for me. Right this wrong." Now, she's not asking for something that is unrighteous. She's asking for something that is right. And the enemy, whatever situation she was facing, but our enemy, we have Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life in all its fullness." Satan has come to rob, steal, kill, destroy. And she's in a position where something has been taken from her that is hers. Something's been taken that Jesus actually gave, that promises the things of God. And this little widow says, "I know my rights. I know what belongs to me. I hope you do too. It's written in the Word of God. All the promises, they're your rights. You want to know what you could ask for? It's in here. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ." So this little lady, she goes, "This is my right. The enemy has taken this. I want you to bring it back to justice, to sort it out for me. I can't sort this out." Well, three times, four times, this judge goes, "I just can't be bothered with you." And so every day she gets up, catches the bus, is back right in front of his face. She gets in his face. She gets right up to him, and "I want justice." She meets with this judge every day. She's right on his case. He's not on hers, but she's on his. And she is rattling his cage. She's winding him up. Children can do this. Children can teach us to pray. Children are really, 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 really good if they want an ice cream. It's amazing how many times they can ask for an ice cream in one day. I remember being with my niece who wanted an ice cream. To be honest, I emptied my bank account just to get her to be quiet. "You can have an ice cream. You can have all the ice creams in the world." Because the persistence. I know what I want, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. And so this little lady is symbolic of what Jesus is saying we need to do to get answers. Sometimes the instant doesn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, we don't drop the egg and say, "We're not going to cross the line." We say, "I'm going to carry this in prayer until I get to see the answer." And Jesus says, "Never give up." Go on, say it. Never give up. Never give up on what Jesus wants. Never give up on what is righteous and true and just according to the word. Never give up on the promise of God. Never give up on what Jesus has said he's going to do. Never give up. You see, unless we hear this in our hearts as from Jesus this morning, we will. But Jesus is wanting to give us endurance through those words and encouragement not to stop, but keep going until you see what God has promised. Keep going. Keep going. And Jesus says, this widow was continually coming and bending this man's ear. How many here would be honest that you've sometimes given up in prayer? And Jesus is saying, get the egg back on the spoon and start to run with it again. Don't lose sight of what God has promised, but keep in the race until you cross the line and win the prize. Because no word will return empty. No word from God will return empty. And the Lord is so gracious, you know, when you're in a trial, when you're discouraged. If you have this prayer life that I'm talking about with him, he will give you more than enough strength and encouragement for the journey. Because you need endurance to go right through to the goal. There are things that God has spoken over us as a people. Never give up. Don't drop the egg. Pick it up and run with it until we see it happen. This analogy, Jesus actually says, I want to just correct that. God's not like this unjust judge at all. He says God isn't unjust. Nothing like this judge. But he's not talking about God the Father. We know God cares. We know, and in fact Jesus said, will he not hear his own people who cry out day and night in the dark and in the light, in bad times and in good times, they're still praying. Will he not respond quickly? That's the heart of God for his people who are praying and asking God to intervene in situations which look impossible. And Jesus said he will. And God's heart and nature is good. And it is to always bring his power to bear in situations that look impossible. But prayer is actually going to bring that power and make it available in those situations. If we stop praying, the power lessens off. And so we are to continue in prayer until we see what God has promised come to pass. You know, I just love it that the Father wants this kind of relationship with us, that we can go in to his presence and saying, I'm here again. Same old request. I'm going to continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock until. And I know you're good, but I also know you've asked me to keep going. For whatever reason that's going on earth, there's a process going on, and I don't understand everything. I'm glad I don't. But he's Lord of the process, as long as we make him Lord of the prayer. And he's saying, I want to be Lord of your prayer life. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Because if you give up, you won't see the prize. You won't see the fruit. And there are so many unanswered prayers that have been sown before God. But we just got to keep going until the answers are completely released into situations. I've made up my mind. There are certain things I will not stop praying for. I will not stop until I see God raise up an exceedingly great army here. I will not stop before I see our latter days greater than our former. There are personal things. There are things for my family. I won't stop. I've made up my mind, Lord. I'm going to carry on until I see what God has promised come to pass. When everything looks unlikely, and even when things get worse, pick up your egg. I know it sounds a very trite thing in comparison with the word of the Lord, but pick it up again. Take it up and say, Father, as it is written, you gave me a word, and I'm going to stand, I'm going to speak this word into this situation. Because no word will return void, but every word will accomplish what it's been sent to do. And you know, God is watching over his word to perform it. That means he's hastening to make it happen. Watching over his word. Pray his word, and it's going to happen. As long as it's not once, twice, three times, and you go, that's it, God didn't do it for me, I'm off, I'm out of the race. You have need of endurance. Through faith and patience, you will inherit the promise. And Jesus actually says you need faith. When the Son of Man, he finishes this teaching on prayer, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? And I know as well as you, and I trust that you've heard this many, many times, and if you haven't, maybe this is the first time, it'll help you. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need to have the word of God in your heart, planted, rooted in you, so that you know that you know, you're sure and certain that that's what God is going to do. Sure and certain that God is going to do it. God is so good, he speaks to his children about every situation. Small things, big things, so that we can carry his word. We can even carry his word for our nation. We carry the precious things of God, don't we, in prayer for others. For unsaved people, we carry the promise of God into his presence. Say, I'm not going to give up until I see, until I see. I'm not giving up, Lord. Until I see what you promised come to pass. Nearly finished. But I'm going to finish with something else the Lord gave me to encourage me in a vision. And I trust it encourages you. And it was only 2 days ago, so I felt I could share it. I think in the Southwest, I feel about the identity of us as a church. God speaks in things that are slightly humorous sometimes, like the egg and spoon race. And that wouldn't work everywhere. No. People are far more serious in other places. But but I don't mean unholy. I mean it's a holy thing. But the communication is really interesting, how the Lord speaks. Maybe it's me. It's just me. Because I like to laugh. But anyway, I was praying for an impossible situation, knowing that it was possible. So I wasn't in unbelief, I was in faith. And I am in faith. I'm trusting the Lord, but I'm keeping going until I see it. And I had this image of an elephant. A great big elephant. Sitting on a small object. Crushing it, squashing it, having influence, bearing weight. And I thought, well, what? I nearly said, too much pizza last night, Lord. This can't be from you. This is a little weird. And I just thought, hang on a minute, that's good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because I suddenly got it, and I went online and I saw a picture of an elephant sitting on a car bonnet. And this car bonnet was wrecked. It was absolutely, it just got its derriere, rear end, just down like that on this car bonnet. And it was crushed. It was bent out of shape, basically. And he said, as an elephant would bring weight to bear on any situation it came on, how much bigger do you think I am that when you pray, my weight comes on it? And so I love the elephant analogy, because it's like this great, when I pray, tremendous power, more than an elephant, is bringing weight, is influencing, is, and God is love, not to destroy people. Pray like that, you won't get anything from God. But praying the mercy of God, but he brings his weight to bear in every situation, which is why if you stop praying, he'll come off that thing too soon. And the process won't be fulfilled. And so think how great God is, how awesome, the one who made the universe, the one who created everything. If we're asking him to come into a situation, then that situation must change and be conformed to what he wants in the end. But we will pray until. Say, I'm going to pray until. And God is much bigger than an elephant. In that situation I'm praying for, his power is made available. And his power is at work to bring change for his glory and his kingdom. And I just felt the encouragement of the Holy Spirit this morning for each and every one of us who have been disappointed that our prayers haven't yet been answered. Who've actually let go of the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God in prayer because it's taken so long. And Jesus is teaching us and he's telling us when it takes so long, just keep going. Just keep on praying. Get in God's face, his beautiful face, his wonderful presence. Experience him. Worship him, let him minister to you, but then say, Father, it's me again. I'm just going to mention again, Lord, let it be. Just praying for this situation. I've got the word, and I'm just reminding you, I'm praying, Lord, let it happen. Just as you said, thank you, you're watching over your word to perform it. Thank you that no word will return empty, but every word will accomplish everything that you've said. I will not be discouraged. I'm not going to not finish the egg and spoon race. I'm going to reach the goal. And win the prize because I'm going to see what God has promised. And so, little old lady with the blue rinse is a powerful woman who can change something that looks impossible. You, I know you haven't got a blue rinse, but you're powerful in God. Your prayers matter. They matter for other people. They matter for your kids, your family. They matter for the church. Never, ever give up. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Just share with somebody next to you that God is going to continue to work through the prayers that I have been praying, and I'm going to see what God has promised come to pass.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.